The National Council for the Training of Journalists. Side 2. All the passages dictated on this side of the tape are at 120 words a minute. There are 10 passages, each of 2 minutes' duration. Passage 1. Restaurant plans for former bank. Passage 1. Every person who lives in this area has an interest in stopping this plan. The council has given permission to turn a former bank into a restaurant. It is a case of double standards. It is unlikely that the council would have let an ordinary business person do this. The fact is that the people behind this application are rather different. The plan to change the use of the building has come from one of the city's biggest and richest landlords. Ladies and gentlemen, let me set the scene. Take a quiet street lined with fairly large townhouses. It is at least one block away from the nearest row of shops. At the end of the street, there is a solid Victorian bank. At least it used to be a bank. It was one of the hundreds of branches which have been closed in the past 5 years. The developers want to build a restaurant with 120 seats. We do not know what kind of restaurant this would be, except that it would be very large. It may open late. It would attract large numbers of people and possibly even queues waiting for seats. What is particularly wrong about this case is that the council's own officers ignored the issues. They did not speak to residents. They did not take councillors with them to see the site, and they tried to force through their own view. Passage 2 is entitled Better Deal for Pensioners. Passage 2. In my role as Secretary of the Pensioners' Rights Campaign, I often visit pensioners in their homes. Many of them cannot get out and have to depend on relatives and friends to do their shopping and run errands for them. Quite often I find that they have difficulty making ends meet. I can tell you that their state pension is too small. If our pensioners were getting as much as those in most other European countries, then things would be much easier. But there are other ways in which they could be helped. There should be special rates for the elderly on telephones, gas and electricity. Heating is very expensive in the winter months. Most of you here this evening will have spoken to old people. You will realize that most of them face these kind of problems. It seems that after a lifetime of work, they spend their retirement struggling to survive on too little money. It is sad that this country cannot treat its elderly people in a better way. Our politicians should remember that they will all be old one day. They should try harder to imagine how difficult life is. We let off steam by talking among ourselves, but we should be speaking out. It is worth listening to what we have to say. We may have grey hair and wrinkled skin, but we can still put a cross on a voting slip on polling day. Passage 3 is entitled Television and the Children. Passage 3. At this meeting of the County Council's Leisure Committee, we have to decide on our budget for televisions in council premises. I must admit it was a surprise to me when the Director of Leisure Services said there are more than 2,000 televisions now in place. I say in place because some of them no longer work and some need to be moved to a more suitable part of the premises. Of course, those are technical matters and the Council's officers will deal with them. As councillors, we have to decide how many televisions we need and if we can afford them. This brings me to the resolution on your order paper in the name of Councillor Smith. The fact that Councillor Smith has declared an interest because he is a journalist working for the regional television station does not prevent him from having a valid point of view on this matter. As your chairman, I have looked at our standing orders and now rule that he can propose this resolution and speak on it. No member appears to object and it has been seconded, so we can now move on. We have a lot to do. So far as the number of television sets is concerned, I say I was surprised. However, when you look at the number of schools, with the great majority of them still in council hands, you can see the size of the problem. Passage 4 is entitled Supermarket Plans Cause Controversy. Passage 4. The next item on the agenda, ladies and gentlemen, is a controversial one. We have here a petition signed by more than 3,000 people. And I see also that there are quite a few members of the public present. I assume that most of them are here to listen to this item. It deals with new plans by one of the major supermarket chains to buy land in Queen Street and open a store. Let me begin by giving you all some important background information on this matter. The company wants to build on the derelict council land on the east side of the town. This land has been in a bad state for the past 2 years. Lately, things have been getting worse. Groups of young people have been using the area for drinking and buying, selling, and using drugs. The ground is littered with bottles, cans, and dirty needles. The council, as you know, has been fighting a losing battle to keep the land clean. The police are understaffed and are finding it almost impossible to keep on top of the problem. Local residents have had enough, and I understand they have recently formed an action group. There has been a great deal of support for the supermarket plans from various sections of the community. If the company buys and develops the land, the problems will disappear almost overnight. We will have a first-class shopping outlet. Passage 5 is entitled Supporting Youth in Sport. Passage 5. We are here tonight to consider our approach to the Sports Council for assistance in our efforts to help young people in this town. As your new chairman, I must say I am impressed by the large number of representatives who have turned up. As the representatives of the various clubs and associations in all kinds of sport in this area, you are very important people. It is vital that your views be made known, and that is why you have been invited. I am sure none will object if I take this opportunity of congratulating the town soccer team on its great victory in yesterday's cup final. No doubt some of them are still celebrating, but I am pleased to see that the manager has found the time to attend. Perhaps we should begin with football, because it is a game most of us play at an early age. I realise football is still very much a male game, but more girls are playing it and more women go to the matches. My own view is that many more women would attend if we could put a stop to violence and rowdyism. Let me hasten to add that I think this is a minority problem in the sense that hundreds of football matches are played every week without violence. Our own town is fortunate in that respect. There is rarely any incident of that kind at our local games. Passage 6 is entitled Prosecution Outlines Charity Fraud. Passage 6. Members of the jury, the evidence you will hear in this case concerns the theft of large sums of money from a charity. On behalf of the Crown, I shall tell you how the defendants managed to steal those sums. They did this with not the slightest thought for the people the charity does so much to help. They are disabled people, and they depend on the charity for the things that make the difference between living life and just existing. The money stolen by the defendants would have made that difference for hundreds more disabled people. One of the defendants, Helen Smith, was an employee of the charity and worked her way up through the organisation until she became Deputy Director of Finance. In this position, she was able to alter the books at will. A few hundred pounds here or a few thousand there would disappear from the books into an account set up by Smith and her fellow conspirator. The losses never showed up in the books, however, because Smith made sure the figures looked right. It was only by chance that one sum of money was traced and found to be missing. The other conspirator, John Brown, had known Smith for many years. They had been lovers and remained close friends. You will hear how Brown had financial problems and had talked to Smith about them. He persuaded her to start taking money from her charity. Passage 7 is entitled Anger at Football Ground Decision. Passage 7. I cannot remember any one issue that has caused such widespread anger in this town as the decision by the council to spend nearly £4 million to help improve the local football ground so that it will be acceptable to the Football League. So many different groups of people have been upset by this proposal that we have come together to form a single pressure group to stop this from going through. Among the organisations which are joining us are those representing charities and youth groups. Two things have caused this great concern. First, the speed and the secrecy with which the plan was pushed through the council. Secondly, the enormous sum of money involved. We believe it can in no way be justified, and the council could use it to benefit many needy people in the borough. We are seeking help from our MP and from one of our members, who is a lawyer, to see if there is any way we could overturn this decision. This is on the grounds that the council did not follow proper procedure, because it was only at a late stage that we knew the amount. Why should we stay quiet and allow the council to push through a plan to spend our money on such an unworthy project? Our first job is to collect as many signatures as we can on a petition which we will present to the local council. Passage 8 is entitled Our Health in Winter. Passage 8. Every year we are warned, and every year we ignore the warnings. This applies to most of us, I am sure, but tonight my subject is the health of our elderly relatives and friends. It is the responsibility of all of us, not only our doctors, to look out for those who may be in need or even in danger. I find it very encouraging that a voluntary association such as yours has become involved in this matter so far as our own county is concerned. Let us now look at the situation. Some of you will say that the real hardship of winter weather does not come until after Christmas, but my view is that we should prepare in good time. It has been suggested that we should look at the elderly in different groups and that one of these groups will not need our help. This is the group of people who are well off enough to look after themselves in their health and financial needs. There is another group which consists of people who may not be in good health or well off enough to pay for proper heating, but do have relatives who are able and willing to look after them. Now we come to the much larger group of those people who are not in good health and are unable to pay their heating bills. It is this larger group which requires our attention today. Passage 9 is entitled Closed Circuit TV for Village Centre. Passage 9. As Chairman of the Residents Association, I am delighted to tell you that the Council decided last night that we would get the cameras we wanted in the village centre. It will not be quite the system that we wanted, but the council has agreed to site 4 cameras at points in the village. There is more good news because we should have the cameras in place before the end of the year. I was very pleased that we were able to get the police on our side over this, and I know that we would not have been so successful so quickly without the help of our community policeman, Constable Jones. It was his staunch support for us that made the chief inspector in charge of the crime prevention panel push for the system, even though there were some on the council who were very much against it. They said that if we have cameras in our village, then the thieves, vandals and others will simply move on somewhere else, and the crime wave which we have experienced in these last few months will just appear elsewhere. My answer to that, of course, is that if people get together and act to protect the place they live in, then soon there will be no place left for the criminals to go. We all know that young people cause most of the trouble, and I have little sympathy for them. Passage 10 is entitled The Town's Goodwill Fund. Passage 10. The Goodwill Fund was set up in this town more than 30 years ago. It was started to help people with short-term financial problems, and at first the number of people asking for help was quite small. It is a very different story today. In the last year, more than 300 people have applied to the fund, an increase of 20% over the previous year. It seems that today many families in the town are living in poverty or fighting a losing battle against debt. One woman who received help from the Goodwill Fund was a deserted wife with three young children. During the winter, her cooker broke down, and to get hot food, she had to go to a friend's house. Her application to the Government Social Fund for a grant was turned down because she was too poor to pay it back. To be refused a government grant because the applicant is too poor seems ridiculous. The Goodwill Fund paid the £60 bill to get the cooker repaired. Otherwise, she would probably have had to go to a moneylender who would charge enormous rates of interest. Many people are in trouble with the gas or electricity boards when they apply to the Goodwill Fund. If a grant is agreed, a call is made to the board explaining that payment is on its way, and urging them not to cut the family off. That is the end of the dictation at 120 words a minute on side 2 of the tape.